Although no historian was on hand to record the event, somewhere between Dallas and New York City, Greg and John began sharing information over the first computer network ever installed at 30,000 feet. Only PowerBook makes it so easy to work together. PowerBook from Apple.
The best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's Cultamax news editor, and his new line of beard jewelry is the newest sensation in manscaping. Buster Kine is here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, get that taco out of your face. It's time to record.
I'm just rubbing my beard on the neck right now. I don't know if you can hear.
Leander Caney couldn't join us. He had a last-minute emergency. He mumbled something very quickly about Ashley Madison, Rippin? And then he scurried off.
I was thinking it was his riveting glasses, like his coach, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, at first I thought Ashley Madison was his riveting coach, but...
Yes, yeah.
And then I was like, wait a second, maybe that has something to do with that website that everyone has been talking about lately? I don't even know what it is, but he was very concerned. And he said he had to go, and he had an appointment with like a hacker or something. So, something about deleting records. I don't know, but he can't join us this week. Hopefully, he'll be back next week. Hmm. In any case, we have an absolutely fantastic show for you guys this week. I mean, it's gonna be amazingly grand, insanely great. So many fun topics to talk about this week, Buster. We're gonna be talking about the Apple announcement, of course. We'll be covering that. They have a new press event scheduled. If you hadn't heard, in fact, I hadn't even heard right before we started recording. Buster's like, did you hear about this? And I was like, what? No, we should probably add that to the show notes. And if you stick around to the end, we're going to be doing a all new Get to Know Your Cultist where I'll be asking the question and we'll both be answering. Buster, here, this is me giving you some prep time, okay?
I didn't even see the question in the show notes?
No, but it's in there. And you also didn't see the Instagram story. So,
yeah, okay.
did you look at the show notes?
No, I never do. No.
The question is going to be, you get to go back in time and replace any movie actor with yourself. What movie do you star in?
Oh, dude. Okay.
Okay, hold on.
I'm going to have to think about this for a while.
Give it some thought. I mean, this is a 30-minute podcast, but you'll have at least 60 minutes to think about your answer here. Before we hop into the fun, I want to say thanks to Automatic for supporting this episode. Automatic is your smart driving assistant. Plug the Automatic Link adapter into your car's data port, and with their beautiful iOS app, you'll be able to find your parked car wherever it is, see maps of all your trips, and how much those trips cost you based on gas prices in your actual area. And you can diagnose and turn off your car's check engine light as well, and a ton of other stuff. But the best part is the Automatic will help you save money on gas by chirping at you when you accelerate too fast, brake too hard, or go too fast. And it does work. I have one of these in my car, and it chirps at me when I go too fast, and it makes me drive much more efficiently. Check it out. See it in action at automatic.com/cult. You'll also save 20% off your Link adapter. That's automatic.com/cult. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace makes it dead simple to build a beautiful website quickly that will look great on any device that visits. Plus, they provide you with several apps that let you manage your site on the go right from your iPhone. I use Squarespace. I pay for Squarespace every month. I absolutely love Squarespace. They're like the Apple of web hosts. Go check out cultcloth.co. This is the site that I put up to launch the Cult Cloth, which is the absolute best way to make your iPhone, Apple Watch, your iPad sparkling clean. I use these things every day. And when I wanted to launch a website, I looked at a lot of different options. I didn't just look at Squarespace, but I ultimately decided to go with Squarespace because they make it so simple to put up a website. So if you go to cultcloth.co, you'll see the site I put up. All the design and everything that you see there was based on a Squarespace template. So all I did was tweak some of the fonts, and everything is, you know, WYSIWYG, drag and drop. You don't have to know any code or anything. Drop in some images and connect some shipping software to it, which is also very easy. So whenever you make an order on cultcloth.co, I don't even have to do anything. All the order is processed in the background. Order emails are shipped to you or sent to you whenever items are shipped out. It's so easy to use, and they make your life so much more simple. And you don't have to pay a developer a ton of money to put up a website. Plus, you could do a blog. You could do a website to show off your artwork. So many different possibilities with Squarespace. Check them out, squarespace.com. You get a two-week free trial, but if you decide to continue your service, make sure you use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. And also let Squarespace know that you found out about them via us. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode, squarespace.com. Buster, I thought it'd be fun to start with a little announcement. I am going to PAX. Do you know what PAX is?
Oh, yeah, the game festival, right?
Yeah, I think it's the second biggest gaming convention, like video gaming and board gaming convention in the world. I think the first...
They got board games there, though?
Oh, there's so many board games. It just keeps getting bigger. They have whole hotels full of just board games. And if anyone's going to be going to PAX, I would love it if you find me there, I will give you a hug. I'll give you a free hug. And I'll dole out hugs all day long. If you're a CultCast listener and you see me there.
And a high five?
If you want both, if you want a double dip, I can't even hold that against you. I'll do that. I'll give you a high five, which will lead into a hug, but it'll probably be like a high five with my hands swinging around to embrace you into the hug. But it's tough.
To give you a reach around.
Well, I was just going to say, if my hand ends up around your buttocks area, just know that when you're going from the high five into the hug, the momentum on your hand, it makes it hard to stop your hand. It might just keep going down. And that's I can't be held responsible for roaming.
Most people would like that, though.
I'm going to guess that a lot of our listeners would probably enjoy a little cheek squeeze.
I would say, oh, thanks, man. That's like, you know, the opposite of a London handshake.
It is. That's right. It's literally the exact opposite of a London handshake. Except I'm not going to squeeze as hard as Al Caney would. I don't want to be rude. I'll just give it a gentle, you know, just a gentle bounce. Just with like my fingertips. Good. Just bounce it up and down gently.
Be careful.
And I will have one caveat, though. If you need to be showered. You know, if you haven't showered in a while and I can tell, then maybe we'll just do like a handshake or something like that. Okay. But PAX is so much fun. It's my capstone event of the summer. It's like 100,000 people.
Is it in Portland?
It's in Seattle.
Seattle. Okay.
Yeah,
what's
Seattle
it stand for? PAX.
The Penny Arcade Expo. So these guys that started it have a comic online called the Penny Arcade. And at one point, they must have decided to do a video game convention because E3 used to be the huge video game convention every year. And then E3 stopped being a thing. I think they just halted it for several years. And then that's when PAX took off. Huge. So many people there. And you can do all sorts of cool things at PAX. You can play a plethora of board games. So every board game in the world is there. And you can rent them for free with your PAX badge. And then they also have like old school video game rooms. So, and this convention center is massive. I mean, absolutely massive. So you go into a room with like hundreds of Nintendos, Xboxes, Sega Genesis, you know, any video game console that you can imagine, things that you probably have never even heard of are there. And you can rent games for free and play games all day. It's like a 3 or 4 day event. I think it's 4 days now. It used to be three. And you just geek out all weekend long and get bro hugs and play video games. Does that not sound like the perfect weekend?
Oh, well, the bro hugs alone has just lured me in.
See, yeah, you're coming next year, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I convinced you. So if you see me at PAX, please come say hi. Buster, let's start with a little app chat, shall we?
App chat?
Yeah, let's talk about some apps for a moment. Okay. I kind of just added this in impromptu, but I figure we are going to talk about Instagram, but I also wanted to mention YouTube gaming as well, which I don't know if you've checked that out.
Taking on Twitch.
They're going to take on Twitch, and they have a pretty nifty app that I downloaded. But before we talk about YouTube gaming, let's talk about Instagram made a big announcement this week, or today actually, didn't they?
Yeah, this morning, praise be.
This very morning. And the funny thing is this announcement was something that we were talking about two episodes ago with Corey Stoddacher, aka With Hearts. And I think at the time, I said Instagram would never do this. There are going to be people who come at me on Twitter and they're going to be like, "Ah, dude, you said this was never going to happen." So I'm dying on my hat here. I have some condiments, and I'll be dunning on my hat throughout the episode. So Buster, enlighten us. What happened?
They finally made it okay for you to upload non-square photos, and they'll show them
news
in the stream. Okay, I'm not super enthused about the way they implemented it, but I think it's a step in the right direction for sure.
I'll be honest. So I downloaded the Instagram app. I'm looking at the Instagram app right now. I have absolutely no idea how to upload a landscape or portrait photo. I can't figure it out. How do you do it?
So when you go to you hit the Instagram logo, right? And then it'll take you to the all photos screen or wherever you're uploading. And there's this little new, it looks like two arrows going in opposite ways in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. And you just hit that and it'll auto size it to whichever, you know.
So you hit the photo button, right?
Yeah.
You hit the photo button, you choose a photo. Do you have to take a photo?
Yeah.
Or can you upload
it? You don't have to take a photo. You can upload a photo.
Okay, so I've uploaded a photo, and I don't see the button you're talking about.
It's in the... Did you update the app?
Yeah, I just updated it today.
It should be in the bottom left-hand corner of the photo, where it has, like, two arrows. And then, you know, you hit that, and then it goes to whichever orientation you wanted it.
I think we should dedicate the rest of this episode to helping me figure this out. Because I'm on the photo screen, and it keeps trying to make my photo a square, and there is no button that you're talking about. It's just not here. And that hurts my feelings. Oh, you know what? Let's try this.
I don't believe that you updated it.
Okay. No, I updated it. I just did. I'm looking at the apps, at the App Store app right now, and it says it was updated today. So, and the freaking update note says we now support landscape and portrait photos.
Yeah.
Bogus. They don't.
I just don't think you understand this, where that button is at. It's got to be there.
I hate you. Yeah. No, it's not. Freaking they broke
it. I already uploaded a landscape photo, and it was beautiful.
I noticed that. That was a lovely photo. This is a long time coming, and I'm really happy that they did this, even though I really did not think they would ever actually do this, because people have been using all sorts of hokey apps that square their images and add like white space on the sides if they want to have it be in landscape or portrait mode. So this is really cool. They finally did this.
No, yeah, I totally agree. What I would love to see them do in the future is let you upload an image full resolution, right? Mm-hmm. And then the preview, what they have now, I think is like 11,000 by whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And let you tap photos to see like a higher res version of some photos.
That would be now, very cool.
Even though you can do it in portrait or landscape, you still just don't get like the beauty of photos, I feel like, with Instagram as well. You can't see the details. You know?
Yeah, I do wish you could zoom in on them.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I think, you know, in the future, it's possible.
It's never going to happen, dude.
If anybody from Instagram is listening to this podcast, and I know we have tons of software engineers there,
Oh, yeah. They're all about
this. You guys
this
can
show.
Take that to Kevin Systrom. He's going to be cool with that idea.
Yeah. So I'm just going to let you know, man, never going to happen. I'm just going to say that about every Instagram feature. It's never going to happen. They're not. Why would they're not going to do that, dude. No way. This is the last feature update we'll get, I'm pretty sure. In any case, this is funny because we were just talking about this on a previous show with Corey Stoddacher, aka With Hearts, who has like 700 gazillion followers on Instagram, and a lot of people like him use it for landscape photography, and so it's cool to actually see these bigger images in the newsfeed. I immediately liked this. You know, it's funny, I was actually really excited about this news, and more excited than I probably should be.
No, I think it's totally, I mean, it's, you know, I feel like every time when you're a photographer, and I think that's why it's big news to you, is when you take a photo, I never think about it in a square format. You know, I always try and think about it in the full wide frame of, you know, the picture that I'm taking. So when you have to like cut a picture down to a square, I just feel like it's very hard because you're like, there's details outside of this that I wanted to be in it that tell more of the story or whatever, or capture it better.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So I think it is a big deal for artists, at least.
Yeah, and it just makes it easier to take photos and upload them without having to edit them into squares first, especially if you just use the camera app. Let's move on to YouTube gaming. Many of you know I love playing video games, and I don't have cable anymore. Turned off the cable internet, or not the cable internet. Actually, I did turn off the cable internet. I have fiber now. Turned off cable, too, so no television channels whatsoever. And I have been using a lot of streaming apps to be entertained, and one of the ones I use the most is Twitch, which is streaming video games. And now there's YouTube Gaming, which is going head-to-head with Twitch. They just released a new app called YouTube Gaming. What?
What's better about YouTube Gaming than Twitch? That's what I want to know. So, is it faster? Is it like better image quality?
I have used it only a little bit, but I'll tell you what I've noticed so far. So I do think the video quality on YouTube is better. One of the things I like about the YouTube app is you can stream. You can stream to a Chromecast, which Twitch can also do, but you can also stream to your Xbox. So if you have an Xbox One, possibly even an Xbox 360, the YouTube app will let you stream directly to your Xbox, which I find works much better than the Chromecast. And also, YouTube is a great place to store your videos. So let's talk about it from a streaming perspective. On Twitch, they have a really big audience. They were first to do this type of thing. And so streaming-wise, you might get more viewers on Twitch, at least for now. But YouTube, eventually, you'll have more viewers, I think, because YouTube has a huge community of people. And once you are done streaming, you can automatically archive that video onto YouTube, which is where you're going to get most of your plays. Like, people who archive their videos on Twitch, like after they're done streaming, no one goes back and rewatches those videos because Twitch doesn't even let you do it via the Xbox app. You have to be on the computer or you have to be in the Twitch app to actually watch an archived video. So they just don't do archiving very well, which is why I think YouTube is going to eventually become the big player, or at least, you know, an equal player in the space. But more than anything else, YouTube is an anomaly. I mean, people will watch YouTube videos that you'll get hits on YouTube videos that you won't get anywhere else. And this is a story I tell often to give people an example of how big the YouTube audience is. Have I told you the story about the guy who posted the video about the elevator ding?
No.
Okay.
The elevator ding.
The elevator ding,
like a
right?
ding on an elevator?
A ding on a freaking elevator. So this guy in a building saw an elevator that he thought had a cool ding. And, you know, like when the elevator comes like to your floor and he goes ding and the doors open.
Oh, you mean the sound. Okay.
The sound. Yeah. Like
ding. I was thinking like a ding at the metal or something.
No. Like the elevator comes to your floor, ding, the doors open, you get out, right? So this guy was, he was just super impressed with this elevator ding. And he makes a video that's like a minute long. And it just shows this elevator ding. And the title of the video is like, check out this elevator ding, so crazy. And he posted on YouTube, and he gets like, last I saw, it had like 7,000 views. Now, 7,000 views may not sound like a lot, but anywhere else, that there's no way you're going to get 7,000 views on anything. Even popular stuff may not get 7,000 views. And on YouTube, a guy can make a video about a freaking elevator ding. It's an elevator ding! And you made a video and like 7,000 people have watched it. They're commenting about it. Some people in the comments are like, yeah, that's a cool ding. It's like, what? It's an elevator ding,
how many of those 7,000 were you, though, watching it?
Probably five. I watched it. I'd say five times. Okay. And you know what? It was pretty. It was a cool ding. It was a cool ding.
It was amazing.
It was the most amazing elevator ding I've ever heard. But long story longer, that's why I think that YouTube is eventually going to pull ahead, because their audience is so massive. I mean, it's the world's repository for videos. I was just watching an that Bruno Mars cut. Oh man, I'm forgetting the name of the song.
I don't listen to Bruno Mars, so
I don't listen to Bruno Mars either. But it's such a great music video. I'm gonna pull it up. But
That one where it's like,
wait, what?
I don't know. He saw it at the Super Bowl.
What was that?
I can't do it again.
What was that?
My voice cracked like I was going through puberty again. He pitches it too high for me.
Dude, I think you got pretty good on that one. No, I'm pulling it up. The Mark Ronson Uptown Funk featuring Bruno Mars video.
Yeah, Uptown Funk. Yeah. You want that one?
So good. Yeah. So good. It has 957 million views on it.
It's almost insane.
They're getting on a billion views. I mean, a billion views. Yeah. Nowhere else in history, in the history of the world, have you ever been able to get a billion views on anything? I mean, the Super Bowl gets 100 million views, right? Maybe 120. This is sitting at almost a billion views. That's crazy. In any case, you haven't checked out the YouTube gaming app, have you?
I haven't. You know, okay. I have Twitch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've watched it a few times to watch people, like, play Vainglory and try and get, like, tips from them, but...
Dude.
I just can't get into like the watching people play video games like everybody else does, to be honest.
Yeah. I guess it's not for everyone. I watch Twitch almost every night. I watch people play video games and stuff. And I do what you do too. I watch people to learn how to play, and I just think it's hilarious that you're watching Vainglory videos. Because game, dude, you are in deep. If you're watching people play video or play that game to learn tips, you're in deep.
Yeah, man. It's like, oh, how did that guy F me up so bad last time? Let me go watch some Twitch and see what other people's strategies are. Because that's how you find, like, I don't know, everybody plays video games differently, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I think people, like, watch League of Legends players or Dota 2 players.
Dude.
Because they want to learn those tips.
There's, like, so many stories I've seen lately about how huge esports are becoming, you know? Like,
yep.
People watching video, like, you know, these League of Legends players, like, sell out huge arenas. It's just it's mind-boggling.
I think that was
really.
Dota 2. They had the International, which is a competition, a video game competition, and they were playing Dota 2, which I don't play Dota 2. I don't understand how it works, but it is interesting when you watch it. Everyone's getting all excited, and you're like, it's like a foreign language. You don't even understand what they're doing, why it's important. You don't understand any of the terminology, and everyone's getting so psyched and like cheering and stuff. And I think that team that won that tournament won like $5 or $6 million.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. It's like, you know, professional tennis players and golfers don't even make that much, you know, and these nerds are just raking it in by sitting there and tapping their screen.
That's right. That's amazing. And you can make money streaming video games now too. I mean, on Twitch and on YouTube. I mean, people, like one of the guys I watch, we're talking about this way too long, but I find it to be fascinating. I mean, one of the guys I watch, this is one of the things I think is amazing about technology. This guy is a grocery store employee. He works at a grocery store. He lives on the East Coast. And he decided to start streaming videos online. And now he has like 100,000 people following him. And when he's streaming video games, people are constantly giving him like donations because they have all these like... like the software applications that you can use to like donate to people who play video games. And he's constantly getting money, dude. I mean, people are giving him $10, $100. People have given him like over $1,000 several times. And just because
I hope
they
he has
enjoy
a little thing on his screen that shows it.
Like, he does. Every time a donation comes in, it pops up and he does like this little like
cha-ching.
Yeah. And he does like this like little celebration dance and stuff. It's like it's amazing. It's amazing. People love it. They eat that stuff up. In fact, I've been thinking about giving him money because I've watched so many of his videos and you just get to a point where you feel you're just grateful to that person because you enjoy their content so much that you're like, dude, I got to give you some money because I'm just really enjoying your content. All you're doing is playing video games, but still, I mean,
you play him so well.
You play him so well. Oh, and he teaches you so much. Look at the way he shot that dude. Anyway, if you are not an Instagram user, where have you been? You should go check out Instagram, obviously. And then YouTube Gaming. Check it out. It's very cool. I've really been enjoying it so far. It's the new medium. This is going to be huge. It's already big, and it just keeps getting bigger.
Do you think it'll take over from Twitch?
I don't know if it'll take over for Twitch, but I think they have a darn good chance. Because YouTube has the audience. Twitch has the technology, but they don't necessarily have the audience size yet, even though they're very, very, very popular. But YouTube has a massive audience, and the technology, they're going to be able to build it eventually. And at that point, it'll be interesting to see if they can steal Twitch's thunder. Any case, let's talk about some Apple news. We got a big announcement today, Buster, that we have a brand new Apple event coming up on it's September 9th, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me all about it, please.
Civic Auditorium.
Okay.
You know those iPhones are coming out soon.
Oh.
So this is it. This is the event, you know?
This is the one we've all been waiting for.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're instead of doing it like the Yerba Buena, I think last year did they do it at the Flint Center?
I believe
they're going
so.
With the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. I think it seats like over 7,000.
7,000
whereas like the
people.
Flint Center's like only seated 2,000. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a huge event. You got the iPhone 6S coming. You got the Apple TV coming. We don't know what else is coming. Possibly an iPad Pro. I'm going to say probably no on the iPad Pro.
You're going to say no? I'm going to say they're going to announce it, but it's not going to be available until like
See,
October.
I thought about that, but I think they'll probably still do the iPad event in October. But maybe not. Maybe
well, let me ask you this. So this is at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. What's the slogan from the invitation? We should probably talk about that too. But this is the same venue at which Steve Jobs and Woz introduced the world to the Apple II. Do you think there's any significance into them holding it here? I mean, this is a venue that it holds a lot more people and also has some historical significance for Apple.
I mean, you know, you can find some Apple history almost anywhere around Silicon Valley at this point. I think, you know, it's nice for them to revisit it. Last year, they revisited the Flint Center. This year, they're going back to Bill Graham. But I don't know if it has any special significance, although I do think, you know, me and Lewis, who is our deputy editor, we're looking at, and there's this secret, quote-unquote, Super Bowl event scheduled at the Civic Center right across the street for the same dates. And we think that that's a cover for some type of Apple, like possibly like their big like tent that they're doing, or maybe even something bigger like a music concert or something like that they might be planning.
It'll probably be
I think
like
they're
a
planning to like go all out. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it could be crazy.
So the invitation slogan, "Hey Siri, give us a hint."
Dude, I asked that chick for a hint and she didn't tell me anything.
She didn't tell you crap? So rude.
She was like, there's like one response was like, "How about you go and read some rumor blogs? That's what I do." And I was like, "That's what I do.
I'm surprised she didn't say, "Excuse me, Booster. I do not understand. Give us some Flint." That's what would happen if I asked it. I have no idea what this means.
What do you mean? Hey Siri, give us a hint?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think, well, you have Siri updates coming with iOS 9 and like the new, like the logo that they use on it, it kind of looks like the new Siri thing from iOS 9.
Oh, it definitely does, also, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Apple TV is supposed to be getting Siri as well. So that could be part of it. And they might announce some new features for Siri as well that we don't know about. Probably most likely for Apple TV, but I think that's the big thing.
I hope that ends up being the big thing. We'll definitely be talking more about this next week. We'll probably go into a little bit more detail on our expectations. I don't think we're expecting any surprises here. I think that everything we've talked about in past shows is going to materialize at this event. So it could be a very cool event. It's not going to just be the iPhone 6S and then, you know, Tim Cook talking about how great Apple's doing in China. And wrapping it up, we might actually get some cool products here. So stay tuned for that. September 9th, I'm sure you'll be live blogging it. Yes, Buster?
Oh, yeah. cultamac.com/liveblog.
Booyah. We'll put that in the show notes too. If you have been following the stock market, man, what a crazy week it's been. What a crazy week it's been. They always say, the old adage is, when the stock market is crashing, regular buyers get scared and professional buyers get greedy. I just totally paraphrase that. But it's true. If you were looking to buy Apple stock, Buster, this week, you missed your chance, I think, didn't you?
Dude, was it Tuesday or was it? I think it was Tuesday, yeah, when the market like really crashed.
Yep.
And Apple opened up like, I think it was $95 per share around that. Today they're closing around 11, 12.
As we record so this, like the, yeah, they're 112 right now.
Yeah, so it was like the cheapest you could have bought Apple stock this entire year when they crashed for just a few. It was maybe an hour. And then Tim Cook came in and said, dude, everything's cool. We're killing it in China.
Everything's cool, don't worry. Yo. China's going great. So
we got those stuff on sale.
He went on Jim Cramer's show and very uncharacteristically talked about Apple stock. What did you catch that broadcast? What did he say to Jim Cramer?
He mostly, because everybody's concerned about China, because China's stock market is
tanking, just
crashing like crazy. Yeah. And so most investors are worried about like tech companies that who have a significant interest in China, which like Apple, you know, all of their expansion is expected to come through China. Mm-hmm. So Tim Cook basically just said everything's great. He said they've seen more iPhone activations in the past 2 weeks than they've seen, I think, ever or something like that. And basically everything's good in China for Apple. Mm. So, which I think really helped like the rest of the stock market too, to chill out a little bit. Because as soon as like Tim Cook came out with that, like Apple stock price just like started to shoot up again.
Yeah, it was one of the only stocks that I think recovered quite a lot by the end of that day. And the entire stock market, of course, went down. It wasn't just Apple, but I was just sitting there watching those prices tank. And I was thinking to myself, oh, to be Carl Icahn and have an extra, you know, $100 million,
a billion more shares right now. Yeah,
I know. Because even if you spent, like, let's say you had an extra 10 grand, you could have bought then when the price was like $96 or whatever. And you would have made, you know, an extra $1,200-$1,300, you know, per what it's gone back up to now, which is,
I know,
darn good for a 7-day return. But you know, in the scheme of life, it's not gonna like, it's not money to retire on. Whereas Carl Icahn, oh my gosh, I mean,
you know,
hundreds of millions
in 3-5 years,
yeah,
that $95 that you bought it at, it might be $200 or $220, which I think is what Carl Icahn currently values the stock at, which, oh, that's more than double what you invested in it, which is crazy, you know.
Right. Yeah, I guess if you're gonna buy and hold, then certainly it's I think I'm no stock expert, but I still think right now is a good time to buy a lot of stock just because the prices are so low right now. And you know, Apple's going to go back up, and it did. Like at the end of that day, a day later, it was already back up quite a lot. And if you can have an iron stomach and buy it when it's dropping like that, you know you're going to make a profit on the way back up. Before we continue, I want to say a quick thanks to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built to compete. Your business, applications, and compute workloads are different from everyone else's, so you deserve cloud resources that meet your unique needs. Some workloads need to scale up and down quickly, and they benefit from virtual servers in a public cloud environment. Some workloads need the raw power of bare metal servers, aka dedicated servers for compute or storage intensive tasks. And SoftLayer is one of the only cloud providers that provisions bare metal servers and virtual servers in a single seamless platform, all on demand, all connected to the same open API, all connected to a global private network. And SoftLayer is an IBM company, and it's the cloud infrastructure foundation of all IBM products and services. Even if you're not looking for infrastructure, you can benefit from SoftLayer infrastructure when you use platform or software services for IBM Cloud. Check it out at SoftLayer.com. All of our listeners have the opportunity to get $500 of cloud infrastructure by visiting SoftLayer.com/podcast. You can order bare metal servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, security services, and your choice of 24 data centers all around the world. That's SoftLayer.com/podcast to get started with $500 off servers, storage, network, and security on a cloud built to compete from SoftLayer. I want to thank SoftLayer for supporting this episode.
I have another story. I have an update.
On your Apple Watch?
Remember how I lost it last week?
Yeah.
I lost it at the bottom of a lake, you know, cliff jumping. I lost it at Saguaro Lake. And I thought, dude, I'm never going to see that. Somebody's going to see it in like 100 years when the lake is gone.
No, nobody found your watch.
I got a call from the Apple store 2 days ago.
What?
And they were, and they, I did, and they were like, "Hey, is this Buster Hine?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "We may have an Apple product for you." And I was like, "What do you mean?" "Well, somebody came in with an Apple product that we believe belongs to you." And I was like, "Is it an Apple Watch?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What? How did that happen?" And apparently, my Apple Watch floated. I don't know if it floated or what happened, but it went from the lake to the Salt River, which feeds out of this lake. And somebody found it in the river, and then they brought it to the Apple store. And a week later, it's back at my house. It doesn't work, but somebody
it does not work.
They were like,
it
does not work. It definitely has water damage. I don't know how much that'll cost you. And I was like, that's cool. I'm coming to get it. And dude, it was insane. I couldn't believe it. It came back to me again.
I almost don't believe you.
Dude, I know. Except, you know, I have it right here. It's been on the charger the whole time because I've been like, come on.
You gotta take a picture of this and post it to Instagram.
Oh, I will. But yeah. So somebody found my Apple Watch in the river, and
that is freaking believable. You've lost that thing twice now, in a river, both times.
I know, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it.
And I mean, not only did you lose it, right? But the person who found it didn't just keep it. I mean, that in and of itself is amazing.
That's what like my buddy was like. Do you think they really tried to return it to you, or were they trying to get it fixed by the Genius Bar and they caught him? And I don't know, but either way, I'm so glad they found it.
Well, I mean, did you report it stolen? Did you do anything?
No, I didn't.
You can't even do anything to lock people out of your Apple Watch.
No, you can't. They just looked up my serial number, I guess, when they got to the Apple store and saw that it was registered to me and gave me a call.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, right? Yeah, and the fact that they would like who finds a watch and is like, oh, I should probably return this to an Apple store just in case.
Like, right. I mean, it was busted, you know. Yeah, like, what are you gonna do with it other than be like, hey, I found an Apple Watch, you know?
Yeah. So, oh, hey, look, I have a new Apple Watch.
Yeah.
That's what most people would have done. Although,
if it was me, I would have taken it and I would have kept wearing it. And then, you know, if somebody was like, oh, hey, is that an Apple Watch? I've been like, yeah. And they asked me to see it. I'd be, oh, it's dead right now. Yeah. I forgot to recharge.
Oh, yeah. I just use it so much. It died.
Yeah. I'm cool. I got an Apple Watch. It's cool.
Just wear it around. You know? That's exactly what I would have done, too. I would have just been a total poser. But, you know, once the ladies see you have an Apple Watch, it's like surefire date right there. Yeah. So, I mean, if you find a dead Apple Watch, it's still worth keeping just because of, like, the lady situation.
Don't give it back.
Don't give it back.
I mean, do. But
man, no. You're charging it now to see if it actually works.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I didn't get a Genius Bar appointment to see how much it would cost me to fix it, but I might, if it's less than, like, 200. Yeah, I'm guessing it would be, like, $300 to fix it.
Well, they insulate all the electronics in resin, so I'm guessing that if anything is, like, damaged, it would have to be the screen.
Just the display? Yeah, possibly.
Which, you know, it's a small display. Maybe it's not that expensive to fix it. Or maybe you could go in there and tell them of this absolutely amazing story and just say, look, twice now I have lost this thing in a river, and it keeps coming back to me. It's like Finding Nemo. I can't get rid of this thing. It keeps coming back to me. You have to fix it. I was destined to have this Apple Watch working on my wrist. It doesn't want to be without me.
I tried to tell like the manager lady who gave it to me like how incredible it was, and she didn't seem that enthused. Like when I picked it up, she's like, "Oh, here's your Apple Watch," and I was like, "This, I don't know. This is insane to me." Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
She's like, "Yeah, I don't care. Get out."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I don't know. You'll have to schedule a Genius Bar appointment to find out how much it costs.
Going to charge you more than it costs to replace the entire thing, though. Speaking of bringing things back from the dead, quick mention, we got a update of Logic Pro 10 this week, which updates also Main Stage 3. And they added a bunch of stuff, a ton of stuff, of course, a lot of fixes as well, but one of the things that I thought was noticeable was that they include a new app as part of that, as part of Logic Pro now, called Alchemy, which was previously a award-winning piece of software from Camel Audio, which Apple acquired at the beginning of this year. And now it is a part of Logic Pro 10. And full disclosure, I'm not a dead mouse. I don't create music and I don't really know how to do it. But I've always been very interested in learning, and a lot of the apps that I've tried have been very complex. And you just kind of look at them and you're like, well, this is way too much to learn if you're not going to get serious about it. But Alchemy looks like it might be approachable by the everyday layman. And it has 3,000 different presets for various genres of electronic music, dance, hip hop, rock. It also comes with a bunch of other little treats that musicians and producers will probably like. But if you've ever been interested in creating music, like, you know, like electronic music, do you like electronic music, Buster?
You know, some of that EDM is cool, I guess.
Is that what it's called, EDM?
What does that stand for? Yeah, electronic dance music.
Oh, I didn't
electronic
actually know.
Dance music,
I didn't actually know what that stood for. Yeah. And, you know, I've heard that term used, but I didn't know what it actually meant, and I'm always too embarrassed to actually ask, so thank you for sharing that with me. This makes Logic Pro 10, I think, just a way better value, and I'm looking forward to playing around with it. And if you've been thinking about upgrading to Logic Pro 10, now's a good time. Now's a great time to do that, especially because you get a new free app with it, Alchemy. Before we move on to get to know your cultist, Buster, why don't we talk about OS 9 code and Force Touch in the iPhone 6S?
Force Touch.
Tell me.
Yeah. So Force Touch, it's been rumored for a long time on the iPhone 6S.
Is there any doubt in your mind that we're gonna get this?
No, because of two reasons. One, like you said, somebody found hints in the code that Force Touch has been enabled, and you can like long press stuff to bring up certain functions. Mm-hmm. And then also, a lot of iPhone 6S screens have leaked, and I think it was Mac Rumors. They found there's a special little chip on it, mm-hmm, that Apple has added, and it looks like that's for Force Touch as well, to like provide the vibrations and feedback to the screen. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely on the slate. Otherwise, there's not too many improvements to like get people to upgrade, other than like the camera.
Yeah, I am really interested to see what they end up putting into the 6S, because the camera is always the marquee feature. And I'm sure the camera will be, oh my gosh, so much better than the iPhone 6. But other than that, they really do need to beef it up with other stuff. And they do that every year.
Well,
and this is one of those great features that they could put in and say, hey, look, this isn't on the 6.
Do you feel like that's enough to get you to upgrade, like Force Touch alone? Or you get, oh yeah, I need that.
No, absolutely not.
No.
It would have
okay,
to be
what
something,
if they put...
What?
What if they put 4K video on the camera?
Oh, now you're talking. Now you're talking my romance language.
Because that was 9 to 5 Mac this morning. They reported that 4K video coming to the camera, as well as like a 12 megapixel camera sensor. It's currently 8. So it'd be a big jump for the sensor. 4K of video. Oh my gosh, that would be so gorgeous.
That would be unbelievable. 4K video on, especially on that screen, it would look so glorious.
Yeah, right.
I'm just hearing like angels singing music in the background in my head right now. I'd be like, oh, that's what it sounds like.
I'm just thinking of all the artsy videos With Hearts could make, you know?
Oh my gosh. Just
from the iPhone. Super sexy.
Yeah, especially now that Instagram supports 16:9 in the videos as well, which is one of the reasons why they, I think, made the change. So yeah, if they did 4K, way better camera, Force Touch, now my ears are perked up. They're perked up. They're kind of like searching around for more information. Feels like there's a cool breeze in here. The areolas have activated,
perked up a little bit.
What else? You got anything else you think that we're going to see on the 6S that's going to be...
What else are we thinking? 2 gigabytes of RAM, an A9 processor.
Expected.
You know, I think the 2 gigabytes of RAM is... I think it's needed, but I don't know if Apple will do it.
What else is there? I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, not that I can't immediately think of anything either, but I don't think we've really heard of much more than that. So
yeah.
That's why I'm curious to see what Apple comes out with. And you know, that could just be it. I mean, a success or the S series iPhone historically has always been just a lot of, like, you know, pretty nice
speed
updates. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And but now I'm thinking I might actually want to upgrade.
Oh, I think, yeah, I'm definitely on that train.
And maybe go with the smaller
mostly
phone.
Because of the camera. Yeah, I would go with the 6S. Unless the 6 Plus has, like, some type of benefit as far as, like, storage or RAM.
Which
or
it very well
camera.
Might.
It's possible, yeah.
It very well might. And we'll both end up with the 6 Plus and or the 6S Plus. And plus, for me, I am always drawn like a moth to a flame to the, like, the highest level model.
Right.
You know? Like, I always talk myself into why I need that one.
Uh-huh.
And then I end up not needing all the features that it has. Yep. That's why I have a 6 Plus with 128 gigs of storage that I've probably only filled 8% of so far. All righty. Well, with that, let's go ahead and move on to the last segment of the day. Get to know your cultist. Buster, the question this week, you get to go back in time and replace any movie actor with yourself. What movie do you star in? Have you had a chance to come up with something, or should I go first?
Yeah, I've thought about it deeply, during these last 60 minutes. Yeah,
you're so good at multitasking. In the last 60 minutes, you have answered a lot of questions. You've eaten 5 tacos.
I've thought about this question. I also posted something on Cult of
Mashable. Did you really? Yeah. No, you didn't. Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're unbelievable. It's the power of the beard, ladies and gentlemen. Power of the beard. Yes, you did. Look at that. Oh wait, we didn't even mention this, dude. Hold on. We got to mention this before.
Did we not talk about that?
We didn't even talk about this. You got to mention this before we answer the question.
If you're, for some reason, tuning in from a Windows device, you will be able to watch Apple's keynote for the first time ever on September 9th.
Good.
Well,
exciting.
I guess it's a Windows 10 device, yeah.
Does it have to be a Windows 10 device?
I think it has to be Windows 10 with, I don't remember all the details.
Okay.
Windows 10 with Edge? Or does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, Edge is the new Internet Explorer.
Oh, is that it? Okay, yeah. On Edge. On Windows 10, then yeah, which is crazy. You know, Apple always has, like, for some reason decided not to stream to Windows devices or Android, but now they're making it available on Windows,
which
so
I always
cool.
thought was weird. Hopefully, why not stream to all the devices? I mean, it's like Steve Jobs said,
Steve
right?
Jobs
I mean,
you gotta.
Well, didn't he say
like
it's like giving
hell ice water?
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Give them some ice water, Apple. Jeez.
Come on. Yeah, totally. No, that's totally it. Like, oh, they could if they wanted to. They just don't. And hopefully it doesn't result in the feed crashing like crazy now that a billion more people can access the stream.
Yeah, they do seem to have that ironed out. The last few streams I've seen have been much, much, much better. And every time they do it, they get better than the one previous. So,
the better than the one previous started out pretty low with that Asian ice cream truck interpreter schedule, whatever.
Yeah, the bar wasn't high, admittedly. Wasn't a high bar. It wasn't a high bar. It was a very low bar. But now, the last one that I saw didn't even have a hiccup. I can't recall any issues at all. Can you?
No, but other people on Cult of Mac had issues for some reason. I was like,
yeah,
I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, it worked fine for me. Anyway, it's great that people on other devices will be able to watch this stream now and daydream about when they can actually own an Apple device of their very own. Back to the question, Buster.
Okay.
Quit stalling. What's your
answer? Mean, Harrison Ford in Star Wars.
Ah, you jerk!
I don't have the hair. I don't have the swagger. I don't have the acting capability.
You would
that
make
Harrison Ford
a much
does.
Better, I think you'd make a much better Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm also thinking is who had the best career from, like, that first movie. And, yeah, Harrison Ford in Star Wars. And then, you know, it leads to Indiana Jones and everything else and Blade Runner.
Because
yeah,
I was thinking I was going to be Harrison Ford in Star Wars. You took the one I was going to pick. So hold on.
It was like,
Let me persuade you.
It would be cool to be Luke, but he had the worst career.
Well, we're not talking career, though. We're just talking movie. And okay. You got to think. Let me set the scene for you. You're running through a cave. You got your hand on your hat. You got a whip in one hand, and you run away from a giant boulder. And the boulder is just about to smash you, and you trip, and it rolls over you. Don't you just see yourself in that role? That's where I see
I do,
Indiana yeah. Jones, starring Buster Keaton. Look, it's Buster. Look how good he looks in the leather outfit with the whip. No?
No, it's, yeah.
I mean, swayed you, didn't I?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, hold on. I gotta choose a different one then. I gotta do one on the fly here. This is pretty tough. And I'll tell you what, every time I've ever had to do this on the fly, whenever I go back and listen to the episode,
I'm like, I should have chosen that one.
Yeah, I cannot believe that I chose that piece of crap. I absolutely should have chosen. And I have like a list of 10 others. It's probably what people do when they're like, listening to our podcast. And they're like, I can't believe you missed X. And they're yelling like, and they can't believe it.
Alternatively, well, I would choose Keanu Reeves in The Matrix just because that was such a badass movie. And it would be cool to see my ass, like myself kicking ass on the big screen, you know?
You would be great in The Matrix. Yeah, in that entire series. I'm totally gonna regret this. Oh, you know what? I got it. I'm gonna be Gandalf the Grey.
I knew it was gonna be Lord of the Rings, man.
although you could pull off Gandalf better than I could, for sure. You would be a great Gandalf.
No, you can be Gandalf. I'll be Gimli.
Oh, you can be Gimli too. I could either be Gandalf. I think I could pull off that role because I do a really good "You Shall Not Pass."
You shall not pass.
But if I couldn't do him, I could definitely do spacing on his name. Who does Orlando Bloom play?
Oh, Legolas.
Legolas. I could do a great Legolas. The long blonde hair and the fan constantly blowing it.
Tights and, yeah.
I already wear the tights often. All I need is a bow and arrow and a long blonde wig, which I actually might have somewhere around my residence. And dude, I'm ready to roll. I know I do go to Lord of the Rings a lot, don't I? It's for whatever reason I feel like it's my go-to.
Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, man. Just,
yeah.
You know, their favorites. What about TV show? If you had to do any TV show actor.
Oh, gosh, this is tough. Any TV show in history?
Yeah.
I'd probably be Magnum P.I. Yeah, because you get to wear short shorts all the time, Hawaiian shirts with your chest hair just poofing out, and all you do is just drive around in Ferrari and talk to the ladies. Best show ever. Man. Who would you be? Yeah. You'd probably be the white B.A. Baracus, huh, from the A-Team.
The A-Team. No, I didn't think of that. I was thinking I would try and be somebody on Sopranos.
Oh, I haven't seen the Sopranos.
You gotta watch. Or Game of Thrones. Oh, I'll be Jon Snow.
Oh, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. You could probably also be Robert Baratheon.
I could, but spoiler alert.
You can't see. I got to bleep that out. I got to go ahead and bleep that out now. Where are we at? Minute, right in the minute mark down. You know that show came out what? Well, the first season came out like 4 years ago. 5 years
six
ago.
6 years ago.
Was it 6 years ago now? Five. Holy moly.
I think it's six.
Okay, yeah. So really, if you haven't seen it, you should have seen it by now. But because the show is so amazing and because that was so unexpected, I am going to bleep that out for our dear listeners. And because I hate it. And you know what's funny is I had somebody spoil a Breaking Bad for me. I was way behind.
Oh, what'd they say?
And I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to spoil it.
Well, you can just bleep it out.
No, I don't want to bleep it out even more. Then I have to go in and add more bleeps. Someone was saying something about one of the very end episodes. And I had probably five episodes left at that time. And granted, the show had been over for, I mean, completely over. The entire show was over for probably a year or two at this point, but I was just so far behind. So really, but you know, you can't fault them for spoiling it. But still, I mean, there are people that haven't seen shows that are like 5-10 years old, and I hate it when people spoil stuff for me. I know you don't really care. I hate it.
I love that.
I hate it. I know. I remember one time I was watching I was going to watch Batman or something, and you and Alex E. Heath were texting back and forth about it, and I think he said something along the lines of like Batman dies. And he wasn't being serious, but I didn't know that at the time. And I was super pissed because I was like, the freaking jerk. He freaking spoiled it. You know, I wasn't even trying to be part of this conversation. And I got pulled in. And didn't you guys spoil movies for each other all the time?
Oh, yeah. Alex used to like text me when I was at the movie theater. And vice versa. I did this to him, too. Hey, so-and-so dies. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so mad I looked at my phone.
Oh my
gosh. But then sometimes it was like bait and switch. Oh no, he didn't actually die. I was just pissed off at Alex that whole entire movie and it ruined it.
Yeah, Alex E. Heath. I can't stand that guy. All right, well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. If you want to come tell us what characters you think we should be, make sure you come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at Airfawn. Buster is BST3R. And boy, we would just love to hear from you. I want to say thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Check out squarespace.com. Get started with your new website and use code CULTCAST at checkout. And Automatic. Go check out automatic.com/cult. Get 20% off your link adapter. Start driving better, save fuel, and find your car wherever you've parked it. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Do you want to give me like a Robert Baratheon?
Next time. More wine. Wine.
That was pretty good. See, you can do a Robert Baratheon.
They did give me some sauce. Good for them.
Are you going to be eating tacos during this production? I hope so.
You know, I will try to limit my taco consumption to ad reads and parts when you're ranting about AT&T.
I don't have any AT&T rants planned, although I guess you never really can be sure.
I'll bring them up, what I did a bite.
You need to take a bite of your taco? She's like, dude, did you hear what AT&T did?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, no, what did they do? And then you'll have at least 2 or 3 minutes just to finish a taco. Mm-hmm. You just cram that thing right into your beard hole.
Oh.
And just
there's just
taco parts so flying out. are they soft, getting stuck in your beard? Are they soft tacos or are they regular tacos?
Yeah, they're soft tacos.
Okay, so I'm not gonna hear.
By my house. It's called Two Hippies, and they're just super cheap and super delicious.
Those are the best kind of tacos, the ones that are just dirt cheap.
Yeah.
The ones that are expensive are never as good.
No. The ones that are expensive are always tiny, too. It's like artisanal tacos. You know?
Artisanal tacos.
Get that hipster out of my way and just give me some real tacos. Dude.
Yeah, just fill it with whatever meat you have. I don't even care what the meat is. I don't care what animal it is. And just jam that thing full of cheese and hot sauce.
Mm, dude. Yeah, that's all you need.